Hey, over the last 2 weeks, we have launched our Multiply vision, and we're in a sermon series that is titled Living as a Disciple Maker. So very, very briefly in review just over the last 2 weeks, we have looked at week one, what is a disciple? And that Greek word of disciple is learner or follower of Jesus. A disciple is somebody who trusts in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. A disciple is somebody who has come to the living Lord Jesus and said, Lord, I need you in my life. Forgive me for my rebellion against you. Lord Jesus, I want to follow you as a learner. That is what a disciple is, a learner, follower of Jesus. Week two, last week, we looked at the command to make disciples. We saw that Jesus is the one that has all authority in heaven and on earth. Every ounce of authority has been given to Jesus. He is alive. He has risen from the grave. We worship a living Lord Jesus today, and he has commanded us. As his learner followers, he has commanded us to carry on his mission, which is to make disciples. It is a straight up command by Jesus to make disciples. And the wonderful promise is, as we're willing to embrace the cost of discipleship, as we're willing to say, Lord, you have ownership of my life, I am willing to make disciples of all nations, no matter where you send me. Lord Jesus, I am here to serve you, make disciples. Jesus says, well, guess what? Surely I am with you always, to the end of the age, and I will clothe you with power from on high. We get to experience the Holy Spirit who spoke creation into being, who rose Jesus Christ from the grave. We get to experience the power of the Holy Spirit as we make disciples, so we can, yes, expect that even God can do signs and wonders through us as we communicate the good news of Jesus and as we join in the worldwide mission of making disciples. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the Holy Spirit can actually do signs and wonders through you? Because he's powerful and he can, and we need to join in with what God is saying and commanding to us, which is to make disciples. Today we're looking at a very important topic. We're looking at the heart of a disciple maker. We're looking at our character. We're looking at our motivation for serving God, our motivation for making disciples. This is about a heart check today. It's about a heart check. It comes from the Multiply book, and it's chapter 3, looking at the heart of a disciple maker. Simon Walker, I read one of his books. It's not Sam Walker, hasn't got there yet, but he might write a book one day. Simon Walker, though, in his book, Leading Out of Who You Are, he presents a really important analogy, I think, in helping us understand our character, our heart motive for wanting to obey Jesus' command to make disciples. He gives this analogy of front stage and backstage. And we have a prop here today to help assist your understanding and my understanding of this idea of front stage and backstage. So whenever you might go to the theatre or you might go and see a show, I'm hearing that quite a few people are going to The Lion King these days. So there are quite a few of us going off to different shows at different times. And you get to see the front stage of the show, right? You get to sit in the audience and see the front stage, the show emerging in front of us. But there is also a backstage to that front stage. And behind the scenes of a theatre, well, it's quite crazy, isn't it? As they try to draw together to bring the actual front stage production. And what Walker suggests in his book is that there is also a front stage and a backstage to our lives. That every one of us has a front stage, really. Our front stage is almost like it's the performance that we give off in life. So it's the public me. It's who you are when people are watching, when you are at work performing your tasks, when you are even at home, what your family sees. When you're at church, what do we see from each other? It's the front stage. It's the public me. But what's really important to this analogy is that Walker goes on to say that there is a backstage in all of us. We're talking about the private me. The backstage not everyone gets to look at. The backstage is the actual private me. And here on our backstage, it's not always that pretty. There is brokenness and fallen humanity in all of us. Not everyone gets to see the backstage because there is a curtain separating the front stage from the backstage. Not everyone gets to look inside the very private me of your life. And you see, on our backstage, there can be those horrible character sins such as pride. As C.S. Lewis says, pride is unsmiling concentration on yourself. There can be hate. There can be unforgiveness. There can be fear, bitterness. Not that fear is a sin, but fear that paralyzes. Bitterness, a lack of self-control. You see, in the backstage of our lives, where nobody actually sees, where there's unforgiveness, where there's pride, where there's ego, what happens is that it takes a hold of our life and it doesn't just go away. And the more we feed our anger, the more we feed our unforgiveness, the more we feed our pride, what happens is that it can't help but spill over. And so often at different times, this junk in our life can actually seep. You can't actually see this right now, but it can actually seep through the curtain and onto the front stage for everyone to see. And we go, wow. There is a backstage for all of us. And I found this analogy I read this book a long time ago, very, very helpful. Because we are all fallen and broken. And when we aren't working on our motives and our character, it can do a grave misservice to our mission to make disciples. Our motivation for doing anything in life, it's actually going to be drawn from what is happening on the backstage of our life. And what's really important for all of us as we sit under the command to make disciples, what's really important is that we constantly need to be giving the Spirit of God complete and free access into the backstage of our lives. That's what's important for us in this moment. We need to be able to allow the Spirit of God complete access into the backstage of our lives. Because every single one of us has a backstage, right? We are all struggling and wrestling with sin, and we are all struggling with our own character. Jesus was the only one to live out a perfect life. And the problem is that our backstage can actually do a great disservice to our motivation to make disciples. That's what we're talking about. Our heart motivation to make disciples. And the only way to be able to allow God to do a work on our backstage, and this is such an important message as we consider allowing the Spirit of God to see someone on our heart that we can disciple. I really appreciated how many conversations I had this week of people saying, gee, I sent an email to the person that discipled me. I loved reflecting on and remembering who discipled me and how valuable it was for them to walk with me and show me what it looks like to follow after Jesus. That was so good, I think, for our church to reflect on who discipled us. Well, as we allow the Spirit of God to see us, somebody or a region in the world where we can obey Jesus' command to make disciples, it is so important that we give the Spirit of God complete access to our backstage. 1 Thessalonians reads this way. Chapter 4, verse 3. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. How good is that? It is God's will that he can get to the backstage of your life and make you in your private me to look like Jesus. It is God's will that you would be sanctified, that you would be made into how Jesus lived and talked and walked. It's God's will for our life, that we will be sanctified, to be made like Jesus. That's what God longs for all of us. He just wants to get to the backstage of our life. And this is what we keep reading. That you should avoid sexual immorality. That each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable. Not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God. And that in this matter, no one should wrong his brother or sister or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins, as we have already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Don't miss that. God has called us to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you the Holy Spirit. Don't miss that, church. God gives you the Holy Spirit. It's God's will that we will be sanctified, to be made like Christ. We need to open the curtain of our front stage, backstage, and allow the Spirit of God to come into our backstage and do a work of sanctification to make us more like Jesus Christ. We need the Spirit of God to be able to do such a work, because we are all too flawed and broken as human beings. As we come under this command to make disciples, as we allow the Spirit of God to see someone on our heart that we can disciple, what we're saying today is we need a heart check. That's all I'm saying. We need a heart check. What is our motivation for making disciples is an important question. It comes out of the Multiply book. What is our motivation for making disciples? Our heart, our character, our motivation, it really matters to God, especially when we are commanded to teach. Teaching is such a privileged position. When you go back to the Great Commission, Jesus says, and as you are going, make disciples of all nations, right? Make disciples is the command as you're going in life. But what are we to do? Teach and baptize. When you teach someone, that is a very, very privileged place to be. When we are teaching people about Jesus Christ and what he taught and how he lived, that is a big responsibility to get that right. Do you follow? Teaching is a privileged position, and Jesus commands all of us as his followers, as we are going to make disciples, that we are to teach. So it is very important that we understand and we actually give the Spirit access to the backstage of our life, because you see, God sees the backstage. We all might have that curtain across and we all give the performance, right? But God knows the backstage of your life. He knows exactly your heart motives. He knows exactly your wrestle with sin. You can't hide from God. He knows the sin in our life. You can't hide from him. It's in the backstage. God looks at our heart. And that's what we see in the story of King David. If you've got your Bibles there, or the passage will come on the screen, and we look at 1 Samuel, we see that David is about to be anointed. Samuel goes to David's family, and as he looks at David's brothers, God says, no, that's not to be the king, to replace Saul. And so we come to this wonderful passage in chapter 16 where David is actually anointed to be king. And the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance. This is one of David's brothers. Do not consider his appearance or his height, right? Don't just look at the front stage. For I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance. We look at the front stage, but the Lord looks at the heart. The Lord looks at the backstage. And I love that when God is looking across the land to find out who would replace Saul. And when he looks at David, what does he see in David? Not his appearance, not his front stage. He sees his backstage, and he was a man after God's own heart. And he says, yeah, I can use that. Because David has given me access to the backstage to do a work. And Jesus, he was so concerned with what's happening on our backstage. Jesus was so concerned about our motives and our attitudes that we apply ourselves with. This is what Jesus says in chapter 12, verse 33. Jesus is concerned with what's happening on our backstage. Jesus says this, verse 33. Only one of these verses will come up. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers. Remember, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees here. They're accusing Jesus of being demon-possessed. And Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the time, that weren't appreciative of Jesus or acknowledged that he's the Son of God. So Jesus is saying, you brood of vipers, how can you, who are evil, say anything good? That's interesting, isn't it? Jesus is pretty strong with his words. He's saying to the Pharisees, the religious leaders, you who are evil, how can you say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. For the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And the evil man brings evil out of things of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give an account, all of us will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word that has been spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned, Jesus says. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus is ultimately saying, when you look at this analogy this morning, for out of the backstage. And what's going on there? Our mouth will speak. And just remember that Jesus was pretty strong, you know. You think about the woman caught in adultery. He said, yeah, you who without sin, throw the first stone. He said, you know, before you can take the speck out of your brother's eye, don't forget the plank in your own eye. In other words, wow, we all have a backstage. And out of this backstage, Jesus says, the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The overflow, right? When we allow sin to take hold of our life, it's not going to work again, but when we allow sin to take a hold in our life, and we all wrestle with this, for out of the overflow, it'll seep to the front stage. But Jesus is saying, my will is for you to be sanctified. Allow me into your backstage. I've given you the Holy Spirit, and I will shape you to be like my Son as you obey my command to make disciples. So what are some poor heart motivations for discipling? Just a couple for you. Pride. Pride is a horrendous sin. It's absolutely horrendous. Unsmiling concentration on yourself. Whether we are feeling that we're superior, looking down upon people, or whether we think that we're inferior and we're inadequate. Inferiority is still pride. It's still concentrating on yourself and not Jesus Christ and what he can do through us. Pride on our backstage, it is not the right heart motive to be making disciples. When we say, hey, look at me, I'm on fire. Look at how many disciples I've trained this year. That's being superior, looking down upon others that may be really struggling to know what does it mean to obey the Great Commission. Pride is a horrendous motivation to make disciples. And also ego. You know, I've got something to teach. Watch me go. I've had all this bent up knowledge. Now I'm told to teach. I've got a disciple. Watch me teach. Look how good I am. This sense of ego on our backstage is a poor motive to make disciples. And obligation. These would be my top three. Obligation as well. You know, I'll do it. I'll make disciples because Jesus says so. Oh, we'll do it. I don't want to do it, but, you know I'm going to be before him one day, and I'll have to make disciples. I'll do it then, Jesus. That's probably not the best motive for obeying Jesus' command to make disciples, because you know what? Making disciples is a joy. Hey, how cool is this, guys? This morning, we celebrated Micah's second birthday. He's two today. And I remember when we first came to church, Cheryl was just heavily pregnant, right? And can't believe, wow, he's two now. And he gets his birthday. I picked him up in the kitchen this week. I can't remember what day it was. And I looked at him and I said, Micah, it's going to be your birthday on Sunday, buddy. And he looks at me and goes, presents? Doesn't take long, does it? Doesn't take long. Got to put up a swing set in the backyard this week and lots of fun. And so this morning, here's this two-year-old sitting on the lounge with his brothers, and I'm like, happy birthday, mate. And we get these presents that Shell wrapped, and we put them on the lounge. And do you think that Michael went up and went, ah, presents? If I have to, I will open them. Yeah, it's my birthday and you're meant to. Yeah, I'll come, I'll open them. No, you should have seen his little face. It was like, bing. And he was, let me say, he's not a slow saverer. If you were around Christmas a few years ago, he's certainly going to be like his dad. He's going to be a ripper. And and he's going to eat. Mate, he ripped those presents open so fast. You should have seen the absolute joy on his face. It was just unbridled joy for the opportunity to rip open presents. And you know what? And in some weird way, I was thinking this morning, we get the opportunity to rip into discipleship. It's a joy, right? And why is it a joy? Because Jesus Christ died on that cross so that all our sins can be absolutely forgiven. Jesus has forgiven us for what is going on in our backstage today, tomorrow, and yesterday. We are forgiven. Jesus Christ does not keep a record of events, and he does not. He forgives, and that is it. We are forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ, but we still wrestle with sin, right? Romans chapter 7, Paul says, I keep doing what I don't want to do. Who's going to save me? Who's going to save me? And Jesus Christ, Paul says, only his grace that can save me. How cool is that? It is Jesus Christ that has completely forgiven us. Doesn't that put a spring in our step? It is a joy to make disciples because we are being forgiven by the one that has all authority in heaven and earth, and he cares about what's happening on our backstage, and he wants to do a great work there. We've just got to allow the Holy Spirit access. Open the curtain to the Holy Spirit and let him do a work in your life. And God says, it's my will that you'd be sanctified. But discipleship is out of a place of joy, and God's grace compels us. Wouldn't you agree? Wow. Grace. It compels us. We don't go, oh, yes, Jesus, you command us to make disciples. No, it's like, thank you, Lord Jesus, that we get to now serve with you in this world, in Christian community. That is a joy and a privilege. We don't make disciples out of obligation. We make disciples out of our deep thankfulness that we are forgiven. Because pride, ego, and obligation, don't miss this. These are motivations centered on ourself. Discipleship is not about us. Making disciples is not about us. It's about another person learning to be a follower of Jesus so they can go on and make disciples of someone else. Making disciples is not about you. It's about the person you're discipling. And it's about them going on to then make disciples of others. You know, I was just thinking this week, and I know I mentioned Shane Sparks last week, but Shane, in his early days, just for a time, he discipled me, and then I went on to disciple a guy called Andrew Harrison, who is now down at Grace Point Community Church, and he's in his fourth year of Bible college, and I sort of mentored him and discipled him for 8 years. Do you see the picture there? How cool is that? Shane discipled me, I discipled Andrew Harrison, right? How cool is that? Like, who discipled you, and then who are you then discipling, who will then go on to disciple others in the kingdom of God? You see, it's not about you. Discipleship is not about you. It's a cost to you, but it's not about you. It's about the person we're discipling. You know, this story's always stuck with me about James Roos in the early colonial days. You know, Sydney was a great place to build buildings. It's a seam of sandstone. But it put the early settlers in a very vulnerable place because they relied on a steady stream of supply ships from England being able to bring food and water to the colony. Farming was difficult and they weren't producing their own crops and water was hard to come by. And so as the colony grew, it became unsustainable. We faced a real big crisis in those early days. And James Roos, an ex-convict, he actually petitioned the governor of the time to go out west, I think it was around Parramatta Way, to be able to put in a farm, and they called it Experiment Farm. And he started to consider how we could farm with our climate compared to being back in England. It was so important that this farm went well. This farm had to be fruitful. So they planted crops, and under a new system to be able to farm, they produced a great big harvest. And what was exciting, and for me, what was a real sticker for me, is that what really, why this picture sticks for me, is that they renamed the farm Experiment Farm to Model Farm. Model Farm. It actually became a model for other people to follow when it comes to being able to farm. People patterned their farming techniques and how they did their farm based on how James Roos did his farming practices. And I want to say to us that we are like a model farm, right? We are like a model farm that other people can look to and go, wow, that's what it looks like to follow Jesus. That's what it looks like to allow the Spirit of God onto our backstage to start to shape us and sanctify us to look like the person of Jesus Christ. If you're waiting to be perfect before you can make disciples, then you're probably going to wait your whole life. But Jesus Christ says, no, when you believe in me, the command is straight away. Straight away. Go for it. Make disciples. We are the model farm, the model for others to actually follow. In fact, Paul said to Timothy, his young apprentice, the one that Paul was discipling, he said to Timothy, set an example in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. And I just want to add just a couple of crucial motivations. It's so important for us to grab hold of these motivations as we allow the Spirit of God to sear people on our heart to disciple. I want to encourage us with these two motivations that I think need to get hold on our backstage, and that's this. They just come from the book, Love Comes First. Kath, can you hand me that book, please? Love Comes First. And I just want to read to you a section, a couple of lines from Multiply book on page 44. Francis Chan says this. Jesus, the real focus is not just teaching people at all. The focus is on loving them. Jesus' call to make disciples includes teaching people to be obedient followers of Jesus. But the teaching isn't the end goal. Ultimately, it's all about being faithful to God's call to love the people around you. It's about loving those enough to help them see their need to love and obey God. I don't want you to miss that. It's about loving those people enough to help them see their need to love and obey God. There's no greater expression, I don't think, of ultimate love than Jesus washing the disciples' feet. As this passage was read out to us, a beautiful example of what it means for love to come first. Now, we read in chapter 30, now he showed them the full extent of his love. And don't miss this either. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. Jesus has all the power. And now he's about to show them the full extent of their love. What is going on in Jesus' backstage? Unbelievable humility. Unbelievable humility. Incredible. He has all the power, but now he shows them the full extent of his love. Jesus got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist, and after that he poured water into a basin. He began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. In verse 14, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done. Unbelievable humility from the one that has all the power to humble himself before creation and wash the most, I guess, sweatiest, dirtiest part of the human anatomy in the Middle Eastern context. And he says to his disciples, now that I've shown you the full extent of my love, I give you an example for you to follow after me. So as you are making disciples, Jesus is saying, you wash their feet. You love them. You don't allow status, privilege, ego, pride. Give it all up. You humble yourself as I have humbled myself and love like I love those that we disciple. We have got to allow this to take hold in our backstage as we make disciples as a church of others. You know, foot washing disciples, they know presence, humility in presence. There is so much power in presence. In small group on a Monday, we sort of kicked around, and it's always good when you're preparing a sermon to ask a few questions of the guys. They sort of helped me write this, I think. And I just asked them, you know, what did you value about the people that discipled you? And one person said that they were just there for me. They were there for me. They just sat by me. The power of presence in a time-poor society is a challenge for all of us, isn't it? But we love through our presence. We love through our listening. We have two ears and one mouth. We love through our listening. We love through our presence. It's about foot washing those that we are making disciples of. And we bring a kingdom perspective. This may sound a little obscure to you, but we bring a kingdom perspective when we disciple, because we need to encourage those that we're discipling that when life goes out of control, God is still in control. When our challenges try to become bigger than God, we know we look to God and say he has all authority. And I just love the fact that a discipler can also bring a kingdom perspective into somebody's life as they wrestle with trying to follow Jesus in a hostile, broken world. We as disciplers get to bring a kingdom perspective. And the second, just really important heart motivation, and this is it, this is the final point for me, is we need to teach by example. Our lives, it must be an example for the Holy Spirit's continual work on the backstage. It's vulnerable, I reckon. If you were to open the backstage of your life to somebody you're discipling, man, that takes courage, doesn't it? But if we're vulnerable enough to allow those that we're discipling to actually see our backstage and also see how we're allowing the Holy Spirit to bring change. And does the Holy Spirit ever bring change overnight? No. The Holy Spirit does a work over our life with what we're struggling with on the backstage. And you know what's so good is that we can open the curtain. We can open this curtain. And for those that we're discipling, we can give them a peek in, right? And allow them to see how the Holy Spirit is transforming our life. That's a huge challenge, I get it, for all of us. But it is so important that we can be teaching by example. The Apostle Paul says this, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." Now, was the Apostle Paul perfect? No way. He kept saying that I keep doing what I don't want to do. But guess what? It's only the grace of God that can save me. The Apostle Paul wasn't perfect, but he truly allowed the Spirit of God into his backstage, and he obediently followed Jesus into the world to make Jesus known to the Gentiles. And even Paul said, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." But Paul's also saying, "I'm struggling to do that." Follow my example, Paul says, as I follow the example of Jesus Christ. I think we just need to be aware of our spiritual blind spots. So often what goes on in our backstage, it can also be a spiritual blind spot and we're not even aware of it. And the devil runs rife trying to bring us down. We need to know that our biggest adversary, our strongest battle is not against flesh and blood, Paul says, but it's against the dark, evil forces of this world. The demonic activity is alive and well, and if you want to step into making disciples, you've got to know that you're stepping into an almighty battle against dark, evil, demonic forces that will align themselves against you to take you out. Just read the scripture, it's all there for you. But we have the victory in Jesus Christ because he's alive. We are co-heirs, rulers with the Lord Jesus Christ, who says, "I've got all the authority, and when you go make disciples, I am with you." But we have also need to be aware of our spiritual blind spots. You see, some of us mightn't even be aware of some of the sin on our backstage yet. We need to be asking Holy Spirit, "Where has sin got a hold of my life that I need you to come in and shine the light of Christ on? Are you aware of the very sin that is holding you back? Are you aware of the spiritual blind spots in your life? Because we've all got them. We have all got them. And I just want to encourage you that when we're aware of our spiritual blind spots, open the curtain and allow Jesus Christ in. And I want to just encourage you to embrace memorizing Scripture. I'm not asking you to do some big campaign, but I am asking you to seriously open Scripture and memorize it. I've been doing that this year, and it is absolutely powerful. I did about 4 memory verses from 1 John, and I've done about 4 memory verses now from 1 Peter. And I'm telling you, you know what? It is so powerful. I'm just driving in my car without the radio on, trying to say these memory verses over and over again. It takes, effort. But if you're not prepared to put the effort in, then I'm telling you, it's going to be a struggle to obey Jesus' command to make disciples, because the devil wants to take us out. But we honestly need to be memorizing Scripture. Allow Scripture into the backstage of your life and watch what the Spirit of God will do with it. It's awesome to memorize Scripture. It is important to memorize Scripture. It will bring, I believe, a spiritual muscle into your life that will change the backstage over time, and it will propel you into making disciples. Memorize Scripture. So as we obey Jesus' command to make disciples, as a leadership, our prayer is that God is starting to sear someone on your heart that you can breathe the teachings of Jesus, that you can be a model farm to somebody that longs to know how to follow after Jesus, that you can open the curtain of your backstage of your life for somebody to see the work that the Spirit's doing in your life. That's our heart's desire. But our motivation for discipleship, it must come from a place where love comes first, a genuine love for those that we are discipling, our presence, our time, the kingdom perspective that we can bring. And that we are a people that, we're a model farm. That people can actually look at your life, at your discipling, and goes, wow, that's what it's like to struggle with sin. That's what you're struggling with. Oh, that's what it looks like to follow Jesus. Leading by example, loving first, standing against the devil's schemes. Man, it's on, hey? It's on. It's exciting. We are here to make disciples, and we just want you to be a part of it, because that's what Jesus is commanding us. But we've got to check our heart motivation. Can I pray for us? Father God Almighty, I want to thank you so much that you have forgiven us for what goes on in our backstage. You see the innermost parts of our life. You know, Lord Jesus, what we are all struggling with. You know the battle that we're in against the devil and the dark evil forces that align themselves against us. I'm just so grateful that you see it all, because all authority is in your hands. King Jesus, as obedient soldiers in this battle, we, Lord Jesus, want to obey your command to make disciples. But Lord, we are broken and fallen, and we need you, Holy Spirit, to come into our backstage, reveal blind spots that we can't see, help us with the sin that we're struggling with. Help us, Holy Spirit, that out of the overflow of our heart may actually come genuine love. Jesus, I cannot believe that you, acknowledging all your power, would actually humble yourself before creation and wash their feet as an example for us to follow. Jesus, there's no one like you. May we wash the feet of those that we disciple. Help us to love like you love us. Help us to teach out of a genuine desire for somebody to know and follow you, that they may go on and make disciples of others. May we be a model farm. Help us, Lord, to be an example to each other and to those that we're discipling as to what it means to follow you. We need you, Spirit. I just really feel led this morning to just give you some space. Don't try and hide the curtain of your own backstage, because God looks down and sees your backstage. We all struggle with what goes on in our backstage. I want to give you a moment to just allow God to speak into your life, for you to repent maybe, for you to just reach out to God and say you need help. Call out to your Father in heaven. He's listening, you know.